Welcome to the Very Pink Knits podcast, the companion podcast to the Very Pink Knits YouTube channel. I'm Stacy and I'm here with Casey.
Hi there.
Casey is the media manager here at Very Pink and she's also producing this show. If you'd like to get your knitting question on the show, just email it to podcast@verypink.com and please tell us where you're from. And we are catching up. Like, we don't have a lot of questions left. Like, we took that hiatus for a while and we started recording again and we are just pounding through these questions. So, yeah, send them in. Send in your questions. And if you are a patron, you can just message us on Patreon and get priority to your question that way. If you're enjoying the ad-free podcast, please consider supporting it. You can go to patreon.com/verypinkknits to see the perks. And our yarn patron is, as always, Turtle Pearl Yarns. They make self-striping identical twin sock yarns that Casey and I both love and use all the time. And we have a coupon code if you check the show notes for 10% off your purchase. Mm-hmm. Yay! Well, you feeling holiday-ish, Casey? I think I asked you that last time. Are you feeling more holiday-ish now?
Yes.
you got the holiday bug going now.
I'm cozy. Singing all the songs.
Singing all the songs, eating all the food.
But I don't think I'm gonna put up a Christmas tree. I'm putting up the regular decorations, but because we have a puppy.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that a tree is in my future.
You know, I'm still debating. Like, I wouldn't put up a tree before now. Like, I'll wait and just have it up for a few days because I want to keep it through New Year's Day. And so that's, you know, I'll put it up a few days before Christmas and have it up for New Year's Day and then take it down. But I am just right now, you know, my Basenji is five, and his birthday is soon, and my Whippet is just 2 years old, and she's still kind of a wild child, but she's getting better at listening. And so if I put up the tree, she's going to lose her mind. She's going to lose her mind and spin in circles. And what is this thing doing in the house? I'm going to take it back outside, you know, whatever. But if I tell her no and I get her to sit, I think maybe I can have a tree this year. I definitely won't be putting any ornaments on it. That's ridiculous. Yeah. Don't even think about it because those will be in the backyard or in the toilet or something, right? Because ornaments are toys.
Yeah, and same with cats. I mean, right now they're living in the bedroom because they don't like the dog. But when they do go downstairs, Saoirse will climb. And so the previous year or 2 years ago, when I had a tree with her, she would climb the tree.
Oh,
and
no.
So it's like, I just have to buy cheap plastic ornaments or else they're all going to break.
Yep. Did you have, when she was climbing it, was it a real tree or an artificial tree?
Yeah. No, I had an artificial tree.
Okay.
But you know, she would climb it up the middle.
You have to kind of expect a young cat to see a tree because she's an indoor cat. So she's not climbing trees outside. And she's like, hey, here I get to be a wild kitty.
And she's kind of that way anyway. So yeah.
What about the other cat?
He's a funny cat. He doesn't do cat stuff. He just doesn't – he's more like a dog almost. It's really funny.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, with everything you guys have going on, and if your boys are okay not putting up a tree this year because of the puppy, then put up a wreath on the door. I always feel like a wreath on the door is like cheerful and not a tree in the house.
Well, they actually want people to cut down trees in our woods, our local woods, because they need it to get cleared out.
Oh, really?
So I may have us just put one on our porch, like an outdoor tree.
So that's less of a fire risk and it will last longer. I guess the water will freeze.
I could just do kind of like simple decorations. I don't know. Figuring it out.
Yeah. Actually, that would be really pretty, especially because of you'll probably have snow and stuff. Oh, yeah. I think that sounds nice.
Yeah. Because right now I have... Well, for Thanksgiving, I had a big pile of pumpkins for Halloween and Thanksgiving in the corner of our porch, so I can put a tree there.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking.
That's what your decoration spot is, to be safe from the animals. Yeah, it's just – it can just be not only a pain to have pets and the Christmas tree, but also it can be dangerous to them. And so sometimes it's just easier yeah. not to decorate in other ways.
Yep.
Yeah. So I'm thinking, we'll see if I end up doing it. But I'm thinking right now that I will at least try it because it's not a ton of work to get the artificial tree set up. And I have a really good artificial tree that looks like a lacy pine tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it has all the lights already in it. So it's just pop. Yeah.
I had the same thing and I left it in Texas because here we have real trees.
But you have real trees.
Also, I didn't want to move it and it was 20 years old, but you know, whatever.
Wow. So you're lucky that your town actually needs you to clear out the forest a little bit.
That is lucky.
But when you're in the forest, the trees don't look as big. And then you show up at home and they're like huge. And you're like, oh, it didn't look that big when we picked it out of the forest.
That's the thing is I haven't bought a real tree in a while. But you don't really – I have a hard time with factoring in like the diameter at the bottom and the floor space that's going to take up.
Yeah.
I mean, the height I can get, but the diameter at the bottom and like how that's going to fit in the house. Yeah. I have a pretty narrow, not big tree that I really like. Okay. Well, we're feeling it. We're feeling the holiday spirit. We're feeling
the holiday vibe.
It's good. I mean, I think we sound relaxed and happy and chill, and that's good.
It's just, you know, we're still coming out of this pandemic thing, so everything feels a little different and weird.
Yeah, this is true. So, this is true. Well, let's answer some knitting questions. That only adds to the chill vibe.
Okay. Dear Stacy and Casey, I'm delighted to have you back. I missed my delightful dog walking companions. Your podcast can brighten the dreariest of days with your good humor and knitting expertise. I'm writing with two questions that are tangentially related. First, I made my husband a top-down raglan sweater. It fits, and he loves it and wears it. A miracle, as he's very fussy. Just one problem. I should have gone down one or even two needle sizes when knitting the cuffs. I made a gauge swatch, and the rest of the sweater is fine. My husband keeps asking me to either knit him another one or fix the cuffs. I want to knit a sweater for myself next, so I'd rather fix the cuffs. But I'm scared to rip them back. Do you think I can manage to rip them back and find live stitches to re-knit it? Or would it more likely end up in disaster? And she sent a screenshot. My second question is that I also love to listen to Annie and Carlos, and they have a whole video on YouTube about how they hate top-down raglans. I think you highly recommend them, and I had a great luck with this pattern, so I'm on team top-down raglan. Any thoughts on why the controversy? Thank you for all you do. Lynn from Freeville, New York.
Hi, Lynn. So the sweater that she's considering re-knitting the cuffs on is a top-down raglan, of course. And so once you knit the sleeves, the last thing you knit is the cuffs, and then you bind off. You should have no problem. If you have leftover yarn for this, you have the yarn you want to use, you should have no problem removing that bind off row, and you can actually just cut out the bind off row if you're having a hard time finding where you wove in the end or whatever. Just unravel that. You can reuse the yarn or use some new yarn to re-knit the cuffs in a smaller needle size. I'm guessing that she wants them to fit a bit tighter around his wrists. What I would do is I would grab some double pointed needles in a smaller size than you used when knitting the sweater, not the cuffs, but the sweater. And pick up, get yourself like a lifeline going with the needles, right? Like go around the cuff, the sleeve, and in the stockinette part, pick up the right leg of every V that you see so that when you unravel it, all those stitches are already on the needles. And it's funny because I just did this a few weeks ago when I re-knit the heels, the afterthought heel on a pair of socks after they got a hole. And I put the needles in first before I unraveled the heel yarn, which is easy in an afterthought heel because I used a different color of yarn. I just had to unravel the light blue part and it was gone and I re-knit the heel. excuse me. But if you have the needles in first, you'll have sort of a lifeline and you can unravel that. Okay. So yes, totally doable. You can do this, Lynn. The next question is, she listens to Arnie and Carlos, and they had a whole video about how they hate top-down raglans. I am obviously team top-down raglan. I love them. I think they're a really easy way to get a great fit on a sweater. And you know while you're knitting it that you're getting a great fit on this sweater. No surprises when you're finished that, oh, geez, it's too short. Or, oh, geez, it's not big enough around the bust. Whatever. I don't know. I wasn't aware of this controversy until right now, but I'm going to think that, Casey, tell me what you think about this. I'm going to think that maybe having boobs makes me like top-down raglans. Mm.
I think some people really don't like the raglan sleeve.
It fits around the shoulder and the sleeve?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know why.
I would think that Arnie and Carlos would like top-down raglans because I think they do like a lot of Fair Isle color work.
Yeah.
I don't know, Lynn, there is this controversy. I am definitely team top-down. Yeah. Maybe we need to get some merch out with team top-down. Does that team sound top like down. A sexual thing?
Kind of.
Kind of. Maybe we won't have merch that says that. I was thinking, oh, well, I'll just name this episode that. And it's like, maybe I won't name this episode that either.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I don't know. I don't know Arnie and Carlos well enough to know why they would not like a top down raglan.
Don't either.
But yeah, they do a lot of color work, yokey kind of stuff. I'm looking at their website. Maybe they just don't like the way it fits, but they're wearing top down raglans in this one picture I'm looking
at. Well, you can't really tell a top down from a bottom.
Yeah. Raglan sleeve, at least.
Okay. Yeah. So it's not because they don't like the sleeves. Maybe I bet somebody will let us know.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say maybe it is because of boobs, because you can adjust and they don't look like they need to adjust the size of that. So.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Boobs and like it, the ability to fit around my bust, because I don't have broad shoulders. I have kind of narrow shoulders and I have a big bust, and the ability for me to make a sweater that fits both of those things, because I'm trying it on while I'm knitting it, that's what makes top-down raglans ideal for me.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know.
We'll probably hear about it. People will let us know.
Okay. Here's another question. Hello, Stacey and Casey. I'm a longtime listener of the podcast, and you have converted me to being slightly more of a process knitter. My first question is, if a ball of wool says it's suitable for 3 millimeter size needles, can I assume that it works for a 3 millimeter crochet hook? I always thought so, but recently I bought some yarn that says it's good for a 5 millimeter knitting needles, but only a 4 millimeter crochet hook, so I am confused. I'm not following a pattern, so I can't just do what the designer says. My second question is, which of your socks patterns that are made on circular needles would you recommend for beginners? I know you've been asked questions similar to this before, but most of them seem to be on double-pointed needles, of which I don't have any. Any help would be greatly appreciated. From Freya in England.
Hi, Freya. She wants to know if recommended needle size is for a ball of yarn is the same for the recommended crochet hook, if that size is the same. And I'm going to say, like, there are no rules for this, and you can look at any given ball of yarn and it might be the same millimeter size and it might not be. And I don't know how yarn companies determine this, but there are no rules and they can say whatever they want. And so if you are, she says that she's crocheting something, I'm assuming, and she doesn't have a designer to ask. So I'm guessing that she's just knitting, you know, or crocheting something simple like a chevron blanket or something. Just go with the crochet hook that gives you the fabric you like. Like, I would recommend swatching for this and trying out the same size as recommended for the needle size. You know, if that's 3 millimeter, and then if it seems like the fabric is too tight, go up a crochet hook size. You'll have to experiment with this because you're not following a pattern. So, and I don't think are any standards for the millimeters between if the size is the same for crochet hooks and knitting needles for any given type of yarn. I've seen it all over the place. But her second question, which of my sock patterns on circular needles would I recommend for beginners? And I'm assuming that she's talking about long circulars like magic loop knitting. Does that seem right, Casey? Mm-hmm. Like not short circulars?
Right.
And so I have Learn to Knit Magic Loop socks, two at a time socks on magic loop. I can put some of these links in there. And they're all – these patterns that I'm describing are knit with worsted weight yarn. So you get through the techniques pretty quickly and you can learn magic loop sock knitting pretty quickly before you move on to using sock weight yarn that has much tinier stitches and takes a lot longer to knit. Mm-hmm. So I'll put some of those links in the show note. I also have my sock tutorial chart that lists out the name of the pattern, the sizes offered in the pattern, the yarn weight used, the skill level necessary. Like I put this thing together. It's been helpful for me to answer people's questions because I have like over 20 sock tutorials out, I think. Mm-hmm. So it's been helpful for me to have this chart so that I can remember all the sock tutorials that I have out. But I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. Casey, right. I just kept talking and talking. Did you have anything to contribute to this question about? Okay.
I didn't. I think you covered it.
That's why.
But I'm also grateful for that sock tutorial filter that you have on your website.
That chart's really good. Yeah. And it's also for me because I can just click on that and then I can jump to whatever sock tutorial I was thinking of. It's like, oh, geez, you know, does that pattern offer sock weight and DK weight pattern? Mm-hmm. You know, like I can't remember all these things. There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Hi, Stacey. Hi, Casey. Glad you're back to podcasting. I hope it brings you as much joy as it does to the rest of us.
Aww.
I'm wondering about weaving in ends on superwash wool. Switching balls of yarn in superwash is tricky because it doesn't stick to itself. I tend to do it in a hidden place under the arm because I find it always shows. I've tried to use your method of smiles and umbrellas to weave in superwash, but I always find it that I can see it on the right side of the fabric. I've also tried your method of tying knots you do in cotton yarn, but the superwash is just so slick. Do you have any tips for switching skeins and for weaving in ends? I'd appreciate it. Take care, Jane. Previously wrote to you from Germany, but now living in Ashburn, Virginia.
Hi, Jane. Kind of a tricky thing. Like she wants to know the best way to weave in ends on superwash wool. And I will say that Jane's experience with superwash is kind of different from mine because I find superwash to have a little bit of stick to it. You know, it's not like using a silk yarn or a cotton yarn. It has enough stick to it that I don't usually have any trouble just weaving in the ends like normal. What do you think, Casey? Do you think superwash is slick?
I haven't noticed any difference except when, you know, come to washing it, but kind of washing not it, right? Weaving in ends.
Right. It seems like that. She's also worried about when she weaves on the end, it shows through on the front. And really the only time that you would have it showing through on the front is if you are, if your knitting is a pretty loose knit and you're weaving a dark end into a light background. You know, it's, so that's the only way that it should really show. One important thing that you can do is if you're changing from, you know, your ball of yarn that just ran out to a new ball of yarn, make sure you're always doing that on the edge of the work and not in the middle of, you know, a sea of stockinette or something. You don't want to disrupt the look of that fabric in the middle of the work. You want that to happen on the edges or at the beginning of the round. And I have the video that I'll link to called Weaving in Ends in Cotton Yarn, which is a way to address not weaving in ends, securing the ends. Yeah, weaving in. I think I can't remember the name of the video now, but it addresses cotton yarns and how to safely secure the ends. And really that should work for anything that isn't sticky wool. That should work for anything. Tying, splitting the plies and tying a little knot. I don't know. It feels to me kind of like Jane's like using a really unusual superwash yarn like that isn't really following the rules. Oh, I can say one thing. You can follow the method I do for splitting the plies and tying them in a knot. And then instead of just tying a double knot, you can tie a triple knot and really pull hard on the third part of that triple knot. And that, you know, I have never had a problem with superwash yarn coming unraveled or any slick yarn when I've done things like that. Do you have anything to contribute here, Case?
Not really.
Not really.
I just don't get stressed out about the end sticking out.
We learned that we can call those sprouts. Remember, just a few episodes ago. I think that's very cute. I picture it in green yarn, a little sprout popping up.
Little cartoon face sprouts.
Yes, it definitely has a cartoon face. Casey, we are finished with this. You do this every time. I always surprise you with this. We have an episode here, and a little bit of housekeeping before we go. This is the last episode of 2020 in the regular feed.
2021.
2021. I don't even know what
you don't
time
know
has years. No meaning anymore. Last episode of 2021 in the regular feed. Next episode is a bonus episode for patrons. So we have one more week of episodes before we take our holiday break for 2 weeks. So to everyone in the regular feed, enjoy the rest of 2021 and Happy New Year. Right, Casey? So Happy crazy. New Year. Yes.
I know. I just feel like 2021 went so fast.
It went so fast. I just feel like I seriously don't have any concept of what is a long time and what is a short time anymore.
I know.
Because it did go really fast. And I'm actually kind of struggling with it right now because I'm thinking ahead because we have one more week. You know, next week we'll have the bonus episode for patrons and then 2 weeks of no episodes. And then I'm already thinking ahead into 2022.
Yeah.
2022, right? Yes, that's next year.
I think so.
Okay, well, that's it for this year in the regular feed. I hope all of you have a wonderful holiday season and stay warm, my friends.